Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Mesa City Council study session for Thursday, January 14th, 2010. We'll begin this morning's session with agenda item number one, which is to hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on the Focus on Mesa Council strategic initiatives.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, members of the council. If you remember back on Labor Day weekend of 2008, we started this process together. The council came together, you did some team building discussions, and mostly you spent your time in strategic planning. And that's when you first put together these strategic initiatives that we're going to be going through this evening. Now, on October 29th, this morning, it does feel like this evening. I'm still thinking about last night. On October 29th, you reconvened to...
Yeah, I'm just amazed that everybody jumped in to correct her about whether it was morning or night and won't listen to probably the rest of the presentation. But we noticed that one. Oh, okay. I got you.
Thank you for that warning.
Have we started?
All right, Natalie. Oh, I apologize for those up here.
So on October 29th, we reconvened and we celebrated our successes and we looked at what the organization had completed over the last 12 to 14 months as it related to responding to your strategic initiatives. We also took the time to kind of look forward and talk about what we were moving toward in the next year or so. The council looked at your strategic initiatives and you refined those statements and clarified them a little bit. And then you also brainstormed and you came up with and prioritized some examples of projects that you believe are important to either start or get underway during the next year or so. And so we're going to do two things this morning. And one is I just want to go through the strategic initiatives with you as a group to make sure that we've got the wording correct and that this is something that the council feels comfortable with and wants to affirm. And then the second thing is just to allow you the time as a group to go through those examples. And if there's clarity or if there's something missing or if there's anything that you want to do with those examples, now's the time to sort of talk about them. So let's just go through your strategic initiatives real quickly, and here's the statements. So economic development, we changed this a little bit. It says that is innovative development and business friendly, and that includes a variety of strategic tools, redevelopment of older and vacant areas, and a focus on high value job creation and employment. You want me to move forward through all of them? Quality of life for citizens of Mesa, that includes safe and clean neighborhoods and parks, transportation options, cultural and arts amenities, and excellent educational opportunities, all of which should be sustainable and environmentally responsible. Community engagement to build pride in our city and to encourage a wide range of civic leadership. This includes the involvement of neighborhoods, nonprofit and faith-based organizations, and direct communication with citizens. Financial stability that provides proactive leadership and that considers all financial factors in order to achieve stable revenues, responsible budgeting, and organizational efficiencies. And regional leadership to address challenges that require regional cooperation and to ensure the solutions are innovative, sustainable, and the process inclusive. Any comments on any of those?
Yeah, I don't wanna...
She saw this coming, I could tell.
No, I don't think we need to go over and, move words around or whatever, but on the regional leadership, first of all, I'm not really sure I understand and the process inclusive, because I don't even know if grammatically that works, but that's secondary. I guess the question I have on regional leadership is what do we truly want to accomplish through regional leadership, and how does it come back to affect us? I think we need to move beyond regional things that require regional cooperation, because to me that's not really leadership. That's sort of a reactive type of a thing. If it requires regional cooperation, that's not being a leader. I would hope that Mesa would be the one that steps out and to advance the notion that what is good for our region also is good for our community, and that we don't live on an island. How we word that and how we take the lead in that, because not everyone thinks that way. And I understand that at a certain level, we're going to get parochial because we're going to look at our own interests and believe that our own interests, to protect our own interests, we have to somehow restrict others' interests. And you know, obviously there are situations that appear to have that. But I think in Mesa, since number one, we are the third largest city in the state, we're by far the largest community in our sub-region, the East Valley, and we're the second largest community in the Phoenix metropolitan area. We have just by our size and our position, an opportunity and a responsibility to lead out in advancing that notion that, you know, regional success will truly create local success. I'm not sure that, I think this is a great start. And when I read it the first five times, it seemed just fine. But for some reason, when I read it this morning, it seems like we can aim higher than that. And I think that we go for regional cooperation, not because it's required, but because we want it and we need it. And we believe we can truly serve as an example to others as to why it's important to pursue regional efforts. I don't know if that was just gibberish or that made sense.
No, I think I understand your point. I can work on the wording a little bit, and maybe we could change it to be a little bit more like regional leadership to advance solutions.
You know, and you can come back to it. And I don't know if the others on the council even agree with what I just said. By their silence, they're either still awake this evening or they're in somewhat agreement. But I think the efforts of my cohorts. I mean, you look at how engaged members of this council are on both regional and national levels, and I don't think that's because we believe we have to. I believe that this council has shown that it wants to be actively engaged because there's a purpose. And at the end of the day, obviously that purpose is to advance our community and to make our community better for us and for the residents of Mesa. And we truly believe that our efforts are not in vain, or that they don't serve to only benefit someone else, but that it will come back. So I think that when you look at how the individual members of this council work and as a whole, that we really have been extremely proactive in pursuing regional leadership opportunities. And I just think we can be better or state that better, because I'm not sure that this hits the market. Okay.
Up on the screen, if we move into the examples, I've just listed them very generally for the audience at home to get a sense. In front of you, you have more detailed listings of your examples that, you know, include your words. What I've tried to do is limit some of the duplication. There's also duplication that's left there on purpose, as we've discussed before. But this gives you a sense of some of the things that we heard both at the session on the 29th, but it also includes the comments that you all made in your high priority objectives discussion back in 2008. So this is becoming a more comprehensive document for the council and the feedback that you've provided.
I'm just saying, is there any comments?
Any comments?
Am I the only one that's going to make comments?
Do we want to make comments on any of these?
No, I'd like to point something out.
Well, I mean, the council, you all did spend a lot of time.
Yeah, we didn't know.
We're waiting for the list.
I'd just like to point something out as to why this isn't, how this plays out, because I know to a lot of people these are just nice little words that don't mean a whole lot. But when you look at, you know, for example, the economic development, the list, there we go. I think it's really interesting that the things that we noted that were connected to are important economic development, things like the zoning code. And, you know, to connect that specific effort to economic development, I don't know that people would, they would look at that more of a construction issue than truly economic development. I think as we deliberate on these issues, we truly look at that as an economic development tool and approach that way. And the second one is the Cubs. I think something that's really important is that keeping the Cubs is not simply just, you know, something nice so we have something to do in March, but we truly look at, nor is it a one-way street. I think we look at this and our efforts related to the Cubs as being connected to the economic development in our community, that it is a two-way street. I mean, we tend to forget that the Cubs, while we spend a lot of time, energy, effort, and money on the Cubs, that their brand also creates a lot of economic opportunities for this community. And by putting it in that area instead of just purely, for example, I don't even see it in quality of life, we saw this as an exercise in elevating the community for reasons other than just something nice to do. Although, you know, that certainly is a side benefit. Mm-hmm. So I think that as we look at these, and the thing I appreciate is that staff, for example, as we go through specific initiatives and action items, have tried to identify which area those fit in, that whether we do this purposefully, and I think a lot of times we do, that there actually is a madness to the method, or a method to the madness, whatever it is, that it truly is driven by a greater goal and a greater objective. And I hope we always remember that, because that to me is what leadership is. I mean, reacting to the agenda is very easy to do in this function, because we constantly have things that are put before us and that force us to take action. But I hope that we are constantly ahead of the game and in pushing those initiatives that fit in with these overall objectives. So I appreciate the fact that you've not only worked on tightening these up, but also give us some suggestions of how we were thinking.
What?
I'm trying to get some discussion going here, and I'm obviously not doing very well at it. Oh, thank you, Councilmember Richens.
I wanted to refer to that article we had recently in the Republic about education, talking about bringing more education facilities to Mesa. That kind of stuff, it wasn't just a wild hair in an interview that the mayor had. It's been a concerted effort for a while, and that's why it's showing up in something like this. And you're right, you need to drive the agenda instead of just reacting to stuff. So how's that?
Thank you. Okay. Councilmember Summers and Councilmember Fender.
I was thinking along the lines of, in here we need to figure out a way to maybe draw in, and some of it's in here, the HEAT initiative, as you've coined it, the healthcare education, kind of talks of what Dave was saying, healthcare education, aerospace and tourism, that's become a major focus of economic development. Education's in here, but what we may want to do is just tie that into the supporting the HEAT initiative and having the resources available to actually accomplish those goals and move us in that direction. So that might help tie these priorities to that specific, what would you call it, strategy, I suppose.
Okay. Councilmember Fender.
Thanks, Natalie. On this PowerPoint here, we have like under quality of life examples or suggestions, and then we have 1 through 10. When this document's finished and out for the public, will we be rating these? Will people misunderstand that our number one objective, or how would that be displayed? I'm sure it's not going to be, because if I needed to say, well, maybe we ought to put public safety number one over something else, but it probably won't be laid out like that, will it?
Well, the way that this is laid out right now is based on the exercise that you all went through on the 29th that did set some level of priority. Now, you know, in some cases that was a little bit of a rushed exercise, and so it was sort of a preliminary prioritization. And so I can do a couple of things. We can make them bullets so that they're all equal value to the council, or if you want to give me some comments and feedback about moving things, I can do that as well.
We can actually maybe go through and as best we can repeat that exercise when we have a little bit more time, because there were some things we were really rushed on.
Mm-hmm. So let's not put a let's not list them by numerical order.
Unless we're going to come back and well, what we might want to do is, like, for example, on quality of life, take some take this and maybe spend a session to actually prioritize them.
But we could do that too.
We'd need to do that in.
But for between now and then, though, let's take we'll take the numbers off.
Yeah, that's fine. Is that okay?
Priorities do bounce around a lot, depending on where we are, what we're talking about at the time. I mean.
Might as well turn my mic on so you can hear. What I was saying was...
We actually liked it the first
time. I know. I know, but there's this public record thing that they insist on.
Okay.
Our priorities can bounce around from time to time. If we start putting things in order numerically, we're not going to come back and revisit it in 6 months. Who knew that the Cubs were going to be a major issue beginning of last year, and now that could be a top priority here in the next 2 months. So as long as the priorities that we have lined up, I mean, if they're really truly our priorities and we list them, if they're not, then we leave them off and we deal with them if we have time.
Yeah, and maybe that's the approach we take. We want to focus on some areas these and areas. Understanding that,
yeah.
You know, I mean, are really parks and recreation more important than education and quality of life? I think depending on what day it is.
That argument.
Yeah, they're both equally important, and on a certain day, one will... take precedent over the other one.
And opportunities arrive.
And if something on here really isn't going to be, for example, if we don't want to, if we don't want to focus on something, it shouldn't be on the list.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Councilman.
And just as I look at it, this app probably accurately reflects some of the current. It's a different word than priority, but when we first came in, public safety was paramount. We needed to get those fire stations built, police stations, things like that, and truly focused. Now we've been able to handle those challenges, and I get a lot of feedback about the parks and recs and looking at some of those efforts to see if there's a way that we can. So it really reflects it, but I just didn't want someone to misunderstand that somehow in our overall look at things, public safety might be lower on the list than others. But
yeah, are community events that far below parks and rec? No, they're really intertwined. And like you said, at one point in time, public safety is the area of emphasis. Once we get over that, then we can move on to something else. And they're really of equal importance in the overall scheme, but at that given day, they may shift in that. So let's get rid of the numbers. And then what we might want to do is, if there's any feedback about items that council members believe just shouldn't be on this list or maybe aren't relevant now, but maybe relevant next year, give Natalie some feedback on that. And then if we see that there's some discussion or debate on any one area, we might want to go back and revisit those the priorities list and see if maybe it's changed. Or maybe the day that we did that, we were rushed a lot, and we just don't feel comfortable with it again. Is that okay?
That works.
That sound all right? Councilmember Summers?
In the interest of image, on under financial stability, item number 10, we really want to leave that hanging like that. It doesn't say anything.
No. I think that, well, I understand where that was coming from. I think that gives the wrong impression. Number 10 says property tax. And I think the idea was that is certainly an item that's always on the table because it's always brought up in one way or another. I don't believe that is an initiative, and nor should that be misinterpreted as an initiative of this council, because it's never been brought up as an initiative. And I don't think it's out there as an initiative. And unless somebody wants to change it, it's not going to be one. But it is certainly something is always in the discussion because, you know, whether you like it or not, it's there or isn't there, depending on how you look at it. So I think that's why it was brought up, is because we will have continued discussion, because the citizenry has continued discussion on that.
Okay.
And I think at some point in time it will become, we will address that issue one way or another, whether it's now or a year from now or 5 years from now, I don't know. But I wouldn't want the misinterpretation that somehow it's a driving thing.
Mayor, I just wondered if you wanted, or Natalie, to explain how we came up with the supporting data, because I've had questions on regional leadership number 25.
Do you want to explain how that supporting data came up or came out? And those are those detail, the raw data lists and the detailed data lists.
At the workshop on the 29th, we had a brainstorming session. And so it was purely brainstorming, and we used the think tank technology for the council to be able to individually kind of add items in there and to indicate a sense of priority so that we could pull that all together and come up with an original list. And so that's how that list came.
So if you recall, we just threw out and people were just typing in.
I just wanted to share that.
It was a very informal session, and there were a couple things that were put in there that probably weren't serious.
Right, and I just wanted to get that across. I've had someone call me on item 25, you know.
And you know what? That's a great out, because anything on there we can say, oh, we weren't serious. We weren't serious about that. Nah.
Right. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure people understood where this came from. And
yeah, yeah. We just figured that anything that was totally off the wall was Dave. You get blamed for everything.
That's all right.
Okay.
Sorry, I probably voted for it.
Okay. Well,
you're the second suspect, so.
Yeah, no.
So, Mayor, is the consensus of the council that on financial stability, we'll eliminate number 10?
Is that okay, or does someone want to leave it there? Okay. Yeah.
I would just leave taxes. That's a general line item. It's
yeah, it's always an issue. But I just don't want the wrong impression. I'm not trying to hide, bury the issue. I don't want people to get the wrong impression that somehow we've had some initiative that hasn't existed.
Is it fair to say that item 12 really could consider all the things you just
revenue
talked about?
Revenue strategies. I think that, yeah.
So by eliminating 10, really, just maybe
yes.
Incorporating the 12.
Just say
okay.
Revenue strategies.
Okay.
Because a lot of it, I mean, you know, that's important, because a lot of the discussion, even around property taxes, is not for additional revenue, but for a stable source of revenue
right. That
would be something that would be revenue neutral. And so a lot of our strategies involve those stability rather than creating additional. And some that may be thrown on the table may be additional, but they're both revenue strategies. Okay, I like
that. Cool with
that. That okay?
Yeah.
Everyone on the council? Okay, let's do that. Let's eliminate number 10 and just to have revenue strategies as one of the items on financial stability.
Also, Mayor, on number 11, market privatization revenues, I think, is falling short of what this council has done and you, Mayor, have done, and Chris, for finding innovative ways to provide service, reorganizing. Some of them have been outsourced. Some of them, most of them, have been just a reorganization or rethinking about how the city itself provides those services. And I think if we were to rename, instead of just saying market or privatization, which is always an option, having innovative service delivery models or innovation in government, something like that would have a broader appeal and fall in line with what's been done thus far.
And I don't disagree with you. I'm wondering if those are the same thing or those are different things. I mean, there are some people who believe that as part of that, we should make sure that we certainly look for opportunities to privatize as part of an efficiency. And
well,
and
that's my point.
Yeah.
It's that's
and whether you want to state that
underneath the larger
umbrella.
Any thoughts on that? You want to, Councilmember Fenter?
Privatization just for something.
Innovation and
for something to look at and to have it there, because you know.
What if we talked about? And I don't know the exact words, but if it just had the tailor that including privatization.
Or innovation and privatization.
Yeah, the market, maybe the word, I think the councilor has, the word market / privatization, I'm not sure what market means.
I don't know what market means.
Innovation / privatization reviews, I think we'd be fine with that.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Is that all right?
I think it was market-driven solutions was kind of the concept.
Okay, well.
That's probably where it came from.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever, I don't want to, this is the
yeah,
council.
Yeah, no, I think.
You agree?
Just work on that wordsmithing, because I think you get the gist of what we're trying to say. And if you don't.
Okay, I got it.
But I think as long as I would agree with Councilmember Fenter. I think it's important to a lot of people. Privatization, for whatever reason, is a standard. And it should be a standard. I mean, if we can't do something in government as well as the private sector can do it, then we're not being innovative, and we're not being the most efficient. So I think that's sort of a given, but people want to look at the market as sort of a standard as to how efficiently we can provide services. And it should always be used as a standard. And I think it is. I mean, whether formally or informally, if we are, we have to look at ways to better ourselves, and if the private market gives us those ideas or can do it better, those are things we certainly should look at, and I think we are committed to looking at. So I agree with leaving that word in there.
I don't disagree. I just don't want to sell ourselves short.
No, I agree with you. I think it is part of a broader initiative. So, okay. Anything else?
Okay.
All right, so we'll continue to refine this and...
We will.
Yep.
And then I'll bring back some new wording for regional leadership, and I'll put bullets in instead of numbers.
And as you look at, those are examples on those pages. Those are things...
Yes.
Yeah, unless there's something that we removed from the slide that's included on that, then it should be removed from that specific list, too. Councilman Richards?
If we're really concerned about public consumption of this and understanding stuff on there, I don't know if anybody in the world would understand what City Edge meant.
Oh, okay.
What the heck is...
Code word there.
Financial reporting system?
Yeah, we'll put that in English.
Well, why don't you explain what City Edge means, Councilman Richards, so we don't leave everyone...
I have no idea. No, I just... I think, if I understand this correctly, it's how we're revamping the way we track our accounting and our...
Well, it goes beyond that. It's a management information
system. It's the entire general ledger for the city. It's our accounting system. And as you saw from our city auditor, or the auditor that does our annual audit, actually noted and made a point that our system is getting very, well, it's old and needs to be replaced. So We'll put something brief and short in there, but I think
so
you're right.
So for all the, just put Peachtree on steroids, something like that. You know that Quicken on steroids, yeah. Quicken is the big thing. That shows how long it's been since I've done accounting.
I can just see the headline, City Adopts Quicken.
It might be better.
We got a free version off the internet.
Thank you.
Well, it's market driven, isn't it?
Councilmember Summers.
Oh, I can't beat that. I'm
okay.
Okay. Well,
and as we go through this, I mean, I know this was thrown at us this morning or when we got the packet. If there is something on either list that you see, please talk to Natalie and she can then revise it and bring it back to us. So just don't leave it where we are. If there's something that comes up on either one of the lists.
No. And Mayor and Council, as we go through the year and different items come up, we're going to also try to use this to refer to it. What's also important, I think, from a community standpoint, where we feel like we probably need to do a better job of really sharing this with our community, and specifically with the council's advisory boards, and thinking that the five strategic initiatives that we'll probably, staff will be going out and briefing all of the council's advisory boards. So even if you're at the Parks Advisory Board, it's probably important for them to understand all the things the council is looking at as part of their strategic initiatives for the next year.
I hope
year.
So, and that's a great idea, because I know in the business I ran, we had a mission statement, and we would actually, in our management meetings, when problems were brought up, even specific problems, we would ask the question, how does this fit in with our mission statement? How does our decision, and we'd use that as the driving force as to how we made the decision. And sometimes you come up with these nice little statements of objectives, and then you forget it, but these should be the roadmap. These should be the things by which our decisions are driven, whether it's on what we do with the Cubs or what we do with an ordinance, how we handle any certain issue. If it doesn't fit within this, then we either need to figure out why we deviated or revisit the guideline and say what's changed, we don't do that enough, and I think we need to do it more often. And I know staff has done a really good job on our agendas and everything else as to telling us when issues come up, how they think, which area they think it fits in, and so I'm hoping that as the boards and the advisory boards and other boards look at this, that they get an idea, a sense of where we believe, or this council believes, that we should be headed, and that we also follow that as things come up. Because everything we do somehow should fit in these, and our direction should be consistent with what we've defined. If it's not, then we got a problem. We've deviated from that. And that, so we should use it as a guidance. So I appreciate the fact that staff has not forgotten this and has really held us to that standard. I hope that we continue to do that. So thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Thank you. Your reports on meetings and conferences attended. Any reports?
Do you want to talk about the team yesterday?
Do you want to talk about what?
John King's
team. Oh, yeah, I'll do that. I had an opportunity yesterday to, and with Councilmember Richens and Summers and staff, to attend a town hall yesterday with Senator John McCain at Leisure World, which, although technically outside our city limits, certainly the members of that community are well integrated into the Mesa community. And I've been to several of these now, and it was probably the best one I've been to. The questions. No, I was there was what would you think there was? 1,000?
Oh, I don't think it was that much.
Wow.
300?
No. There was quite a few people.
700 at least.
Yeah. And the questions were, it was interesting because the questions were not dominated by healthcare, but were broad-based on security and all sorts of things. So we appreciate Senator McCain's staff for including us in that and the residents of Leisure World who contribute so much to our community. So thanks for attending with us. That was great. Councilmember Fenter.
Just wanted to note in District 2 over the last month or so, we've had 3 serious house fires. And I take the opportunity the next day or sometime after to just go by and visit with the neighbors and getting just nothing but wonderful feedback in such a tragic situation from the homeowners and the neighbors of how their house was saved from a spreading fire, just major fires like on New Year's Day. So the service has been outstanding. The connector program, customer service after the fact, just a lot of good things going right there. It's not because I have a leaning towards that, but to be able to be on the receiving end of gratitude from people for such a wonderful service. So I hope that gets back to our fire department personnel.
Is it just because I'm more sensitive, or does it seem like the last 3 or 4 months we've had a lot more house fires than
it is the season,
citywide.
Unfortunately. This is the season.
Well, it just seems like for whatever reason, we had about the last 2 months, we've had just a flurry.
Yeah, we'll look at it, but this is just that time of the year, unfortunately, with
candles
and space heaters. I'm sure our resident firemen can tell us that this is just a tough
time
of the year.
I've had 3 and 5 shifts.
Yeah.
Wow. Be careful.
That too?
Yeah, I just, people, and a couple of those I know that we've avoided a significant loss of life because of the smoke alarms. And so please check your smoke alarms. I know that's something that we talk about a lot, but we have some real examples now, especially that one on around Christmas where they flat out say that smoke alarms is what probably saved an entire family. So thanks, council member. Anything else? Mr. Brady.
Just a reminder to the members of the General and Economic Development Committee, there's you have a committee meeting after this study session today, and we will have, again, reminder of the Martin Luther King breakfast Monday from 7 to 9 a.m. at the Mesa Marriott, and then the parade will begin at 11, and then we have a study session on Thursday, January 21st, and there's also the police chief meet and greet for the public is that evening from 5 to 7 at the Mesa Convention Center. Thank you.
Thank you. We now have a pre-scheduled public opinion appearance. We'll hear from Mr. Barry Stonehouse. Mr. Stonehouse? Sir, you have 3 or 4 minutes, so.
Okay. Is this where I sit, right here?
It's just fine.
Good morning. Thank you for your time. I'll be brief. I'd like to speak to you about the use of methane gas at the wastewater facilities. My name is Barry Stonehouse. I'm the president of a company that's involved in the energy business, so I have a vested interest in this. I've been a resident of the city of Mesa for over 15 years, and I am a Arizona native. What we do is we manufacture turbine engine generators burning all kinds of fuels to create renewable energy and regular energy. And we own, operate, and install these generators. And we have been interested in working with the city of Mesa on a project at the Northwest plant for close to 2 years now. The plant can benefit from this, the city can benefit from this, the residents, and there's several other companies that will benefit just from the installation and operation of this equipment. So it is a way to generate jobs. I'd like to take a minute and go over a few numbers with you. It's a number-driven world, and that seems to make the difference. So I'll start with 12 trillion. 12 trillion is the amount of gallons of waste water produced in the United States every year. 21 billion That's the amount of electricity it takes to clean that water. 1.5%. That's the amount of electricity produced that is used from the total production of the United States to clean wastewater. 1,006,463 is the 2008 spend for electricity and thermal energy at the Northwest Mesa plant. 40%. 40% is the amount of gas, the renewable methane gas that's produced at that facility that it would require to run a 1 megawatt generator. 253,000. That's the number that was estimated in our April proposal to the city of savings by burning that methane gas. 8,362 represents the amount of carbon in tons that would be removed by burning that methane gas. And the difference is over conventional generation of electricity. 1,381 is the equivalent amount of cars that would have to be removed from the road to equal that emission impact. 463,000 is the Mesa Census 2008 of residents in the city of Mesa that can benefit from this. And the last number is zero. That is the capital spend that was required by the city of Mesa per our proposal in April to have this happen, for the city of Mesa to take the benefit of that. My company offered to install, own, and operate the equipment at no capital cost and share the benefits with a flat rate price to the city of Mesa. And last, I'd like to say, I'd like the mayor and the council to consider this, to consider the numbers, ask any questions, or request the basis for this data. I'd be glad to share it with you. We would also ask that once you're satisfied with the numbers, the potential benefits, that this project be moved forward, as well as other projects. We ask that you either approve this as a trial project at the Northwest plant at our expense. If you don't like it, we'll take it out. Or that you request RFPs for other companies for all of the plants to burn the renewable fuels that are produced to benefit the city of Mesa, its residents, and the environment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stonehouse. You know, we have a memo on from staff on some preliminary things. I don't know how deeply we want to go into this right now. Probably we need a report and to digest the information that was presented, because I know that the proposal has been reviewed, but since we just got this morning, I'm not really sure as to exactly what we want to do. So, Mr. Brady,
Mayor, what do you suggest? Yeah, Mayor and Council, what I would recommend we do is give a chance. We've heard this morning. Some of the proposal that's on the table. Staff's been looking at this for some time. I think there's items in the memo that address some of those, maybe not all of those. But I'd recommend, if it was favorable to the council, is to consider sending this to the TIC?
Transportation Infrastructure.
Infrastructure Committee. They're an opportunity for the representative here to, again, have discussions, but also for the staff to present.
And we can get into more detail.
And at doing that, the committee level might be appropriate. Then the committee can make a decision for that to the council or otherwise. So that's what I would recommend.
Unless there's an objective, let's plan on doing that.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Stonehouse, you'll have a chance to get into more detail with staff and the subcommittee of the council to look at this, okay? All right, next item on the agenda. Ms. Crocker, do we have any requests to speak from the public?
No requests, Mayor.
Okay. We're finished with the regular agenda. I will entertain a motion to enter into an executive session.
So moved.
I have a motion from the Vice Mayor, second from Councilmember Fenter. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We will move now into an executive session. Thank you so very much. Appreciate it.